In today's episode, we will be shining light on Indian women's rights. It's definitely a topic that has gained global exposure over the years. I'm sure all of you listeners have come into contact with these fundamental human rights, probably through social media. But the issues that gain the most recognition in the media are those of white women. Us mainly knowing of and discussing white rights in developed countries is owed to us being able to relate more to these issues. But it is essential that we broaden our horizon to grasp a deeper understanding of the layers of feminism and gain some perspective. So to start off with fundamental understanding of feminism, we will be discussing the four ways of feminism and then analyzing various categories for an Indian woman's position in them, like health or education. So, the first wave of feminism took place in the 19th century. It was a political movement with the goal to grant women equal rights as men. Society should recognize women as more than just property. As revolutionary as this wave was, it was unfortunately boiled down to white feminism. The second wave of feminism took place in the 60s up to the 70s. It was inspired by civil rights movements, such as the protests against the Vietnam War. It challenged a woman's role in society and abolished oppressive institutions. Victories include the Equal Pay Act of 63, aimed at abolishing wage disparity between men and women. The third wave of feminism took place in the 90s. Its goal was to get women to achieve higher positions, such as in their work. Laws that were securing women's rights were already established thanks to the first and second wave of feminism. This wave opened up to sapphics and women of color, very thankfully. It welcomed individuality and was all about abolishing rules. This individuality was then expressed in speech, behavior, and clothing. This, however, did not mean in the slightest that we had achieved full equality. Even though we had the laws that were securing our rights, we were in no position as men. There were still huge social discrepancies with stereotypes that had to be overcome, and still, today, have to be dismantled. We are currently in the fourth wave of feminism. This wave is defined by social media exposure. Thanks to it, we have now a tool to express our opinions and to reach a wider audience. Feminism is not limited to law, but society's view of women. Even though a lot of people say that we do not need feminism anymore because men and women have the same rights, on paper we are equal. That does not mean that we are equal in every single category. Society's view of women is still very different from society's view of men. The expectations put on a woman and a man differ immensely. This is what we are fighting to achieve. We are fighting to break out of these gender norms, and we are fighting to establish this equality, even socially. People who say that we do not need feminism are disregarding these problems, and they are also disregarding the cries of help that are coming from women that do not have the privilege to live in developed countries such as we do. We still need to fight for their rights because they aren't even granted to them. We need to establish their rights and establish our equality socially. To examine an Indian woman's role in society, we will be looking at the health care provided to her. A woman has the right to abortion within the first 20 weeks of pregnancy. There are, however, exceptions to this rule. When the mom's life is at risk, when there is potential mental or physical injury to the mother or the child, when it's a rape case or it happens accidentally within a marriage. Women were granted the right to abortion in 1971, one of the fewer countries to have done so early, which is what India prides themselves with. However, this right is often misused in several ways. The first form of misuse is by controlling overpopulation. India has an alarming rate of births per year, and the government is trying to overcome this issue. What is problematic with this is that a woman becomes an instrument in the government's interest. The government does not provide this basic human right or basic health care to her because They are concerned of her well-being. They do this to fulfill their own interests. Abortions are further misused with sex-selective abortions. This means that the woman will abort her child upon finding out it's a girl. This is also referred to as female foeticide. They are often pressured by their husbands who want a son. Sons are deemed more honorable and are thus celebrated way more than daughters. This is because it is believed that sons, or men in general, can take on family burdens way better than women can. This is obviously owed to patriarchal values and stereotypes that women are fragile and not as strong as men, and that they cannot handle the burden that having a family would bring with it. One might ask why these women do not stand in the way of their husbands when they say that they want a son and that the woman should engage in this female foeticide. Well, that is because women oftentimes themselves have internalized these stereotypes and they want to go through with this abortion because they have, from a very young age, been manipulated. These values have been put onto them. They have internalized these values and now fully believe them. Another form of healthcare are sanitary products. The Goods and Services Tax, or GST, came into effect on July 1st, 2017. It is a form of indirect taxation. It means that you have to pay a higher price for your products as they have already been taxed. This taxation has received a lot of backlash in India. A lot of women argue that this taxation would make period products a lot more inaccessible to women living in poverty. After all, two-thirds of India's population does live in this poverty. So this tax was then lifted, thankfully. While on the topic of period products, we should talk about periods in general and the stigma regarding them in India. There is a very heavy stigmatization of periods, and they are treated like secrets. Young girls and women are considered to be impure during this time. Sometimes they don't even go to school because their mothers or their parents in general don't let them out. This is the perfect segue to our new category to analyze, which is education. As previously stated, young girls will not go out for a week every month because they are considered to be impure during their period. The stigmatization is also in the way of schools providing proper essential needs for young girls. They don't provide period products, and if they do, they do not provide the trash can that is essential to throw these period products away. So they do not go to school every month for a week. Add that up, and they are behind in all of their classes. Men, as always, have a head start to them because they do not get these periods, and if they did, let's be honest, they probably would be provided the proper care. There's also a huge discrepancy between the men's and women's literacy rate. While 35.4% of women are illiterate in India, it is only 18.5% in men. Women are rather taught how to do housework. They have to do their chores and they have to take care of their siblings because, one, that is their future role in this patriarchy, and two, their parents are out working or they are living in poverty and they need helping hands. Poverty is also the cause of these young girls not having the resources to go to school. They do not have the money to buy their textbooks, and they have to stay home because their parents are out working. Or they take jobs, which then hinder their studies, taking up much of their time. This gender bias is also apparent in women's search for employment. There is a wage gap between men and women, as there is in Germany as well. Women are also less likely to be employed, owed to them being seen as inferior to men, and that women cannot provide for themselves or their family and are also unable to contribute to India's economy. I know this sounds pretty bad, But trust me, not all is lost. There are several organizations, NGOs such as UNICEF, Vidya and Child, and Vatsalya, or several others, who help in this matter. They help disabled children receive their education, they provide school uniforms, books, hygiene kits, or they cushion school dropouts and get them back to educational institutions. So I'm reaching out to you listeners to go and check out these websites and see if you can help them in a way. After all, education is most essential. It is essential because it provides a foundation for women to break out of their assigned gender roles, to break the cycle. They gain awareness and confidence. With this awareness, they are far more likely to stand up for themselves, far more likely to break the cycle, to break out of assigned gender roles. Education opens up the way to employment, and employment brings money, and money brings change. There need to be more women who are role models to young girls, who teach them that they can be whomever they want to be and do whatever they want to do. They need to prove not only to young girls but to society as a whole that women are capable of more than just what society expects them to do. To recap today's episode of Indian Women's Rights, Indian women are far from equality, and thus in desperate need of feminism. Women are struggling to break out of their assigned gender roles and are strongly limited by them. These misogynistic ideas hold them back from reaching their full potential and take a toll on the general perception of women and their mental health. Although on paper, men and women are equal, I think this podcast shows how far from reality that actually is, and how we do need feminism, especially in countries like India. To all of you who want to help, as I said, there are great NGOs that you can visit and that you can support. If you do not have the money, and I guess that you do not have the money because this podcast is generally aimed for students, you can very easily spread awareness through social media. I think everyone has a digital device that they can use. Please fight for these women's rights by sharing posts that are very educational, by following hashtags to be up to date, and by sending them all of your love and support. And even if it's not about India, I'm sure we've all by now heard of the abortion debate that is now going on in America. This really showcases that a lot of countries, including Germany, are very far from equality, and we can always find a way to help them. Women's rights are time and again being challenged and are being taken away. It's important that we do not stand for this and that we establish a nice and comfortable environment for women. If not through social media, then in real life. Try to educate yourselves on what women have to go through if you're not a woman yourself, or try to educate yourselves what women of color or women who belong to the LGBTQ+ community have to go through to then be able to support them. Please help each other out. There really is a truth in saying that girls support girls, and I hope this is what you take from this podcast. Girls support girls. Men support girls. Everyone should support girls as they have to change a great deal of challenges. Thank you so much for listening.